We are interviewing Quentin, one of our Kansas City locals, about his experiences in the Adeptcon Contest of Champions. Spoiler alert, he managed to take down first place. So Quentin, why don't you start us off with the first round and tell us about your Contest of Champions experience.
Yeah, so my first round, I got paired against Inhumans. That matchup is so bad for them. It's just like, Black Bolt is, when he's so displaced, he's so incredibly sad. It's just so easy for us, Webs to do it because he's size 2. Like, impact webbing from Gwen, Bill throwing a medium. We have so many tools, and then all of our best models have stealth. So, like, even getting into range can be tough for him. Like, Black Cat, Gwen, or Black Cat, Miles.
Do you find that, like, Lockjaw changes the matchup, or do they just commonly not run him?
I don't think they often run him against Webs, because, like, you need all of your pieces to do something. And, past turn one, Lockjaw's not doing anything. They won Pryo, but they took their blues, my reds, which I was pretty happy about, because all of my reds are 5 points scoring, so I can win the game as fast as possible. We hit Gamma, which is like not great, but still I was able to just like get the lead in the early and then turtle up in the back, and then one or two attacks, that is all they're ever gonna get, and they're just not gonna be able to take down our team fast enough for to stop us out from scoring when you do that.
And I guess I'll just a heads up for everybody who's listening, I'm going to put the Longshanks event link in the show notes. So if you want to go in and check Quentin's list or the list of any of his opponents, you can do that.
Oh, yeah. And we were playing at 16, and I was playing the wide list. That's even more gross. When you're 6 wide at 16, there's just not a whole lot they can do.
So what were some of the key points of your roster? Like, I don't need all 10 people, but what were some of the key things that for you made Webs work, and what are you trying to do with them besides just win, baby?
Yeah, just win. The 2/2s is huge. Toad Wong, being able to play wider than every other team is great when you have someone like Gwen who can displace 3 or 4 models in a single activation. And always being able to lock that up as activation is huge. I'm playing Bill because he's the best four. It's boring, but very good. Medium base, medium move. Like, R&Ding a power onto him on turn one, so he has the throw, is stupid. Like, and then my tech 3 is Zemo, just because I was running into like not having enough punching power to deal with like problematic fours like Rhino or something, just like anybody giving me problems. And then turns out when you can just run Zemo at someone, rerolling everything, including skulls, he's gonna get the job done most of the time. Mm-hmm. Kenny will tell you.
I will not.
Well, I seem to remember like 6 months ago, I tried to convince you to run 2/2s, and you told me I was wrong.
I was resistant to playing 2/2s until you crushed a WTC, and I was like, all right, let's see what this juice is about. And I was like, oh no.
It's good.
Brandon was right.
That's it. We got two people said it on the podcast.
Don't tell him that ever. Yeah, even right. If he is, don't tell him that.
We're going to loop that for 20 minutes at the end of the podcast.
So, you like playing wider, you like just winning. How often, maybe we'll come to this back at the end, but ASM is in your list. Did you ever use his leadership?
I did. If we want to move on to the next round, I used him in the next round. So next round, I was playing against Convocation. It was like a more scenario-based combo team, so everything looked like our crisis were pretty similar, so I ended up with my reds, their blues, got hit struggle for the cubes, and then extremist consoles. So we're playing at 17, and I think the 17 of 2/3s, a 4 ASM, and a 2 is very good. So I left Miles at home because he kind of gets eaten by convo. Brought Black Cat, Gwen, ASM, Spider-Woman, and Wong. And then that game was just, we had a Quinjet on the table, which is awful, which is like so bad.
Yeah.
But ASM being able to slow someone and then rotate is huge. Like on turn one, I slowed his lizard, which really hampered him being able to move for the rest of the game. My ASM this weekend was just going off. He had Scalpel Strange, and I think he put like 5 or 6 attacks into my ASM, and he still survived. Which, like, he was low rolling a little bit, but like rolling like 3 or 4 on his attacks. Also,
he basically has to be in range of Witty Banter to use his good attack too. Yep. So
yeah,
that's pretty rough. It's really hard to keep.
And every Witty Banter, I hit the coin flip and flipped it out of a hit or a wild or whatever it was.
Or out of a Pierce. Yeah, Pierce to nothing is pretty rough.
Pierce doesn't work because they modify your dice and then you modify theirs. So Pierce still goes through.
Oh, that's true. So it's just canceling the hit. Like, you're right.
Yeah, but my ASM very good at rolling crits. Just always flush with power. Yeah.
That certainly helps.
Yeah, that game actually... Yeah,
especially being able to...
Actually,
being able to slow someone on a D, it makes it impossible for them to rotate, which is absolutely huge.
Yeah. Yeah, the game actually, turn two was looking really bad. He dazed both Black Cat and Spider Bowman with Magic's activation. Just like popped him. But then our old webbed up turn, everything went right, and it was just like impossible for him to come back. But yeah, you're only ever playing ASM's leadership on Ds against other scenario teams. If it's just like any other time, Miles is just going to be a little bit better. Just the consistency of having extra defensive rerolls and being able to modify your skulls is just quite nice.
Yeah, that's fair. What was he playing other than Strange and Lizard?
Strange, his list was Scalpel Strange, Lizard, Wong, Magic, Voodoo. And normally Voodoo gives me a lot of guff because, you know, Mystic Attacks are very good. Possessing my characters is very good. But he just had it on one side of a D, the Quinjet side.
Yeah, D's are rough for him because you just abandon the side and you can't really do anything.
Yeah, he had it on the Quinjet side and said, I'm just not going to play the game over here, and slowed him and ran away.
Yeah. All right, so how about your round three?
Round three, Kenny will be able to tell you a little bit about this one, because it was into him.
Oh, yeah.
I've blocked it out.
That's
a good game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. It was really close. My Zemo popped off a little bit on his Rhino, which was pretty huge, and then on his backside, my Spectacular really popped off. We were on Scoundrel's Paranoia, so just an incredibly fast-scoring game. We're playing it. I lost Prio, so I got to choose to play at 20. So he could play 7 wide. This is where playing Spectacular over ASM is huge. Just a range 3, size 3 throw is huge in that matchup. Double impact.
What was Kenny playing?
Kenny, what were you playing? I remember Rhino. Kingpin.
He blacked it out, don't you remember?
I played Kingpin. Spectacular did some things that I was... I'm pretty amazed by not spectacular things, amazing things.
I was gonna say, I think the only matchup in which criminals really struggle against webs and it's not close is when it's wide webs. I think wide webs is just too much of a problem.
I even said it in that game that I felt like I played almost perfect and it didn't matter, because when we got toward the end I was like, I don't see a way out, and I ended up losing, was it 20-19?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, like, it was, like I said, we had a really close game. I was up, I think, like 2 points for like 2 rounds, something like that. And I just saw it slipping away. But, I mean, Quentin played to his outs, played great, which is exactly what you should do as a web warrior. Moved models when you had to, and Spectacular Spider-Man is spectacular. I disrespected that guy, and I was wrong.
Yeah, it turns out
a lot of compliments on this cast. Everybody's wrong about
that. Oh god, I am wrong all the time. Yep. And nobody is afraid to tell me.
Yeah. I'm certainly not.
Black Cat can only catch Lizard and Kingpin so many times before she falls down.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And so we know how that went. Let's go to round four.
Then round four, I played against Hellfire. We were on Scoundrels again, and Senators.
Ooh,
I was actually,
that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I was actually kind of worried about it because they had Prio. But they ended up bringing Ultron, which I think is like really a mistake into Webbs, because again, Spectacular is going to throw him every single turn, and so he's going to get a attack and really hinder him. And then I brought Zemo again, and I just ran him at Emma. I was like, "You're going to have to deal with this." And he hard whiffed one turn, and then rolled like 7/5 into her, which really was helpful to bring it back.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. That's actually a really strong counter, because she can't get him far enough away to stop the auto engage, and he's, you know, Mystic Four with a reroll. Like, he's actually pretty good at fighting Emma.
Two rerolls, because one from Miles, one from Stratus. Oh, yeah. Super good. And like, I also don't think he had played into Webbs too much, because like, he walked Miles out of stealth range with one of Emma's attacks, and then when tried to attack him, I was like, "Oh, sorry, that's stealth."
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, we were just able to get up early and then keep that lead when there's so many points on the board. Like,
yeah,
it's just tough to keep people off of it.
So I've been wondering about this. Do you feel like normally Hellfire is a good matchup for you, or is it a tough matchup?
I think it's usually pretty tough, just because like the mix of Rhino, Miles, Black Cat is like doing the same thing, just with a little bit more power. And then this is a robbery. It's just so brutal. And when Rhino spikes at you, he spikes hard. Like, yeah. My losses at LVO were to Rhino and Avengers. Rhino just hard spiking into my Toad, rolling like 7/5 while I was on a Scoundrel, and just like instantly dazing him, doing the same thing, rolling 7/5 into my Spectacular on the last turn.
Yeah, I think half of my Webbs losses are just to Rhino single-handedly man-moding my whole list.
Yeah, and he's size 4, so it's hard to... It's harder to displace him. Like, Gwen could pull him away, but he doesn't really care about that a whole lot with Stampede. Like, Bill can throw him away, which also helps a little bit. I've just started running Zemo at Rhino and just, like, trying to pick him up. Because, like, Rhino's tough, but he's not that tough.
What about Emma herself? Do you find that to be a problem against your Webbs?
Emma's pretty dicey, so not really. Like, she's throwing Mystic attacks, and I don't... It's like, not being able to play Tactus cards on her turn is annoying, but it's, like, not that big of a deal, really. Okay. When she spikes, it hurts.
Lifesaver. Well, right.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if, like, Lifesaver or some of the stuff that Web Warriors do, if you have found that affects you a lot, because I've not played that matchup a lot, so I've not seen it a lot.
Not a whole terrible much, no.
Okay.
In my personal experience versus Emma with Webbs, is she's usually not in position to really punish you. And so she's usually walking to do like a range 3 attack, in which case it's like she's not any better than a regular model doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she can get some work done, but it's not devastating, because it's not like, you know, Strange who's teleporting in and nuking your stuff, and you need your defensive abilities.
She can still be pushed by like impact weapons and stuff too, which helps mitigate quite a bit.
That's fair.
Okay. So how many rounds were there on day one?
That was the last round of day one.
Alrighty. Was that 4-0?
That was 4-0, yes.
4-0. Nice.
Yeah, 4-0 ended up the top seed, which was very cool.
Do you want to talk about what you almost did?
I did.
That I yelled at you for?
I yelled at them too.
Yeah, Aaron and I were going to drop and play in the team tournament, but Kenny yelled at me, said he can't crush my dreams and then drop.
Fucking coward. Can you confirm or deny that this was the plan?
Yeah, the plan...
It was 100% the plan.
And you stick to the plan, Quentin. You don't no. forfeit the plan just because you go 4-0 day one.
Can you just imagine the horrific parallel universe where you dropped a play in the team tournament and missed out on placing higher than Aaron in a tournament?
That's fair. That's fair. Dude, I was sweating
the
after.
The darkness of that universe.
I really just thought saying, the curse was...
We're I not really hiring you up next yelled. Time. I need a teammate to stick to the plan. Next
to the plan. I yelled at Quentin. I think I raised my voice for other people who were like, oh shit, is he really mad? Like,
I don't think you actually did.
I felt like I yelled.
You stood a little close. You stood a little close.
So you're used to Kenny's normal inside voice, which is screaming.
That is not true. That is inaccurate.
And Quentin, you do owe the Adepticon judges a favor because they refused to accept a bribe. Mm. I was supposed to play you round one of Top Guts.
Were you? Wow.
No, in my head I was. And I approached them with a bag of gold and some Adepticon tickets, and they were like, no, we can't do that.
I mean, we saw the parents before, so if we had been paired against each other round one, we could have just dropped. Yeah. I would have been okay with that.
See?
Oh, and then go play in the team tournament. Yeah. I'm glad that did not happen.
I'm glad that did not happen. I'd have been so mad at both of you. Not you, Aaron. I didn't care about you. I'd have been mad at Quentin.
So, first off, I do want to say that we played for a 96-player event. I saw a lot of matches of people I know versus people I know. And so, like, in 96 people, like, I didn't know that many of them because, like, I wasn't walking up and down. But, like, I saw that Parker played Ryan. Obviously, Quentin and Kenny played each other. It just seemed like for us having, like, 8 to 10 people there, it's like 1 in 9. It seemed like we had a lot of, like, you know, friendly fire going on.
I played Spellshock.
Yeah, Spellshock. We had a lot of people bouncing off of each other.
Later, I played Parker.
Well, I mean, I'm going to defend that a little bit because Quentin and I played. We were both 2-0, so that's down to.
It's not a crazy amount. It's not like it was targeted. I'm not saying anything like that, obviously. It's just saying, like, I feel like with how well we ended up being represented, I think it was even more special because of how many times our guys ran into our guys.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point when there's only 4 rounds in the first day and you have so many people there undefeated, like, you're going to hit each other. Sure. We just have a concentration.
And obviously that's a good thing. Like, you know, that means a lot of our people are in the winner's brackets because, you know, they're still playing each other.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, so that's going to take us to Top Cuts day 2. Mm-hmm. We had Quentin, Aaron, and Parker all still alive for the top spot. Quentin, how'd your first game go?
My first game was going pretty okay. I was losing it, and then there was like a misunderstanding where my opponent dazed one of my characters and drops an objective token, and then it was on the board, and then they're like, okay, it's your go. And I sat and, like, thought for a little bit, took a couple game actions with Gwen, like, moved Rhino, went to go pick up that token. And they were like, oh, I picked that up. And I was like, well, that's, like, incredibly huge to this whole board state. And then, like, we, like, hurriedly, like, kind of, like, walk everything back. But it really, like, set me off, like, tilted me off. And I played the rest of this game really badly. But then my opponent was like, it's like a misunderstanding. We should have called the judges. We didn't. Okay. But, you know, like, mistakes happen. And then my opponent was like, I don't really want to win that way, and, like, gave me the win. So, like, the game was about even at that point, but I think I was at a disadvantage for sure going into the later rounds. It's just kind of sucks that we didn't actually get to see how the game would have ended up.
Yeah.
And who was that against?
That was against Alex Spots. I think he's one of the taco truck guys.
He is. Mm-hmm. So he I want to give a shout out to Alex.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For kind of realizing at some point that this is just a game we're all playing with figurines, right? I think you and he both felt bad after that game.
Oh, yeah. No one walked away feeling good.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lesson learned. Step one, just call a judge and let the judge figure it out. Right? Like, if I was the judge, I'd have said, no, it's there. It's on the table. Play on, right? And that sucks for Alex at that point because he probably paid the power and said he picked it up, and you were in the think tank, didn't hear him. You go to pick it up later, and all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, I thought I picked that up." So, and like you said, you might have been. I don't know what the game state would have been had he just let you pick that up. But again, you can't unwind after the game has happened, right? And he realized that you kind of, you know, got tilted and played in a tilted fashion. And so just a shout out to him for realizing that it's just a game.
Yeah. It's also really, really hard to hear in those spaces. So,
oh yeah. We had like a wall of X-Wing players next to us because they had us right next to there. And so
there was probably 1,000 people in that room playing. It was crazy big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a, for lack of a better term, heartwarming story to hear that you that it was that he that happened. I mean, it sucks that it did happen.
Yeah.
And I knew something happened, but I didn't get the details. So this is the first I really heard about like the actual details. But that's wow. I did not know that that happened.
There's a few things I wanted to say about it too. Is obviously board state is incredibly important for stuff like this, and it's like you said, like it's a loud room, a lot of stuff going on. Who knows, like what could have been said, could not have been said. But me and Aaron talked a little bit about this, and like what happens if you're the judge? Because me and Aaron both, you know, TO tournaments all the time, and so if you're a judge and it gets called over, is like the craziest part of this is, let's say, at multiple different points of this, a judge does get called. And so, like, if the judge gets called over as soon as you try and pick up the objective and he says, oh, I picked it up, well, it's sitting there on the board, so you didn't pick it up. It's like, I don't understand how else you could call it, because even if the person's like, well, I spent the power, it's like, well, I wasn't here to see you spend the power. You could just, like, who knows what actually happened or where the miscommunication happened. And then, like, you agree to walk it back, and so, like, you guys talk about, like, we're going to rewind it to where Gwen hadn't activated yet. Well, multiple models have been moved at this point, so it's like, now we're, like, going to an irreparable game state, but both players have agreed to do that. Then you call the judge. Well, now you guys are in this new state, so now it's, like, a totally different judge ruling. It goes to a whole chaotic place very quickly for board state stuff, which is why, in a lot of times, if you do call a judge, they're almost forced to just go with whatever the current game state is. And so to see that two people had such a derailing moment like this and you guys were able to resolve it, and it sounds like you guys came away from it like not super upset with the situation. Obviously, it's a very disappointing situation that the game state kind of got ruined. But that kind of shows that I think you guys, you know, were able to kind of resolve it. And clearly him giving you the game like that, what a, you know, super sportsmanship move because of something like that. Like,
oh, incredible sportsmanship. Yeah. And he like even came up to me like afterwards. He was like, hey, like, I'm not mad. Like and it's just like, yeah. I mean, it was definitely like a funk, but
yeah.
Definitely sounds like I've not met him. I don't know him at all. I'd say that sounds like a good dude. Somebody that I would enjoy playing a game against.
Cool. All right, so after the first round of top eight, that leaves Vince from Taco Truck, Quentin, Parker, and Aaron, I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that correct? So we ended up with three of the top four of the Contest Champions Tournament. I was watching from the sidelines, cheering you guys on. I just want to say I was really proud of you guys for representing our area like that. Good job.
I was proud of Quinn.
Parker deserves nothing, and Aaron's a dickhead.
Oh my! I forgot about Parker already.
literally forgot about Parker. I just listed his name. Wow.
He's no not wonder here. People son. Hate us. They just hate me.
I think you hate everyone.
I don't hate everyone.
Oh, so you like me?
I like Quentin.
Alrighty. So let's talk about the second round of Top Cuts.
Yeah, so
final four.
Yeah, so that round I got paired against Parker, which of the two Kansas City ones, I was very excited about that. My record against Aaron is truly so bad.
You hear that, Parker? Disrespect. You hear
not
that?
Disrespect. The disrespect. Statistics.
I looked at my win percentage versus Parker on Longshanks and immediately did a fist pump. Like,
no, until that, we were 1-1 in rated games. I'm like 0-8 against Aaron.
Yeah, no, I think that's more of the comparison of you against Aaron in tournaments is quite poor.
That round we were playing, I lost Pryo. He took my blues, which, because he's playing like a beat 'em up Avengers list. I think that was the correct choice. If he takes my reds, I just try to score out the game too fast. So we ended up on Montesi and Extremis. I had the interesting choice of thinking about the point totals, 17 or 18. I ended up going with 17 because I thought it would be just a little bit better for my 17. It's going to be a little bit better than his average 17. What I was really surprised by is he brought, instead of bringing Panther and Agent Venom, he brought Quicksilver and Cable. And I didn't bring Brace. I didn't, didn't think I was going to need it against those two. That one kind of threw me for a loop, but because like Age of Venom's there for the Web Warriors matchup, and Web Swinging for one is very good, and Panther obviously dominates on any D that he stands on. But that game was interesting. It's just like kind of, even though it was still a D, kind of ended up as like a scrum in the middle. Again, my ASM just went crazy. During my all webbed up turn, he web swung in, pointed at an attack at Cap to try to hit the trigger, and then like hit the trigger and dazed him. And then I put a huge attack in. I put 10 dice into Cable, just trying to move on to the point. Like instantly dazed Cable, rolled like 8 or 9 on 10, and then moved on to the point, picked up his stuff. And I think after that, it was just like too much to come back from. Because like his important models were slowed, like Quicksilver and Zemo. So I was still just able to rotate just better than him. Cable did blast ASM afterwards, but once you go up like 8 points in a single turn, it just doesn't really matter that much.
Cool.
Yeah. That was that round.
So I know we've been alluding to it, but because I imagine we might have some extra listeners that aren't regulars. We have a longstanding tradition of Kansas City that Quentin and Aaron play in the finals, and it goes a very specific way.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
It happened so many times.
How many times has he beat me in the finals? We counted, remember?
Every time it's not Quentin, it's you.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
I'm aware. I remember everyone.
It's because I always play Aaron around two.
Strong.
If I play Aaron and it's not a final, I think I win. I think I win every time.
Undefeated.
One of one.
No, we did that. We played in the team tournament against each other.
That doesn't count.
Oh yeah, Aaron doesn't want to bring up team tournament standings.
It fucking counts.
I am lifetime undefeated against Aaron in team tournaments. Okay, so when you saw that Aaron lost to Vince in the other semifinals game, can you please describe to me the sigh of relief that ran through your body?
Or elation.
Yeah, immediately after our game was, I looked over at the stream, and Parker asked me how it was going. I was like, I don't really know. And he's like, what do you want to happen? And I was like, well, one, it would be very cool to have both the Geekery people in the finals. But two, it would be nice to win Adepticon.
And I know these two things cannot happen.
Yeah, I know.
There's just a curse put upon me.
Yeah, and someone was like, "Oh, your win rate can't be that bad," and I was like, "No, I'll pull it up.
You want to see the number? It's a small number."
So with Web Warriors in rated games, I am 41-12. 8 of those losses are to Aaron.
So, how many games though? don't say 8. Please don't say 8.
Eight
of 8. You're 0-8 against Aaron in rated games. Jesus Christ.
I think I've won one of those games, haven't I?
I remember several of them. There was a whole month period where it was just Thanos versus your webs, and you would just leave every tournament screaming mad, like, fucking Thanos is so busted!
I think Thanos only happened like twice. It was Thanos Criminals and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just that. And the unaffiliated. You did the unaffiliated Hellfire thing. That's what got me.
Okay, so moving into the final round, round 7, I believe. You're playing Vince. Set the stage. What was the missions? What was the matchup?
So I felt really good about playing into Shield, even if Vince is one of the best Shield players out there, just because... Perrin, Aaron's son, had been playing them for a while, so I felt pretty comfortable on that matchup. Let me pull up the... and I won Pryo, which is huge. Webs with Pryo is...
So explain why it's huge. Is it a mission thing, or is it just getting the odd-numbered extract advantage?
It's a mission thing. It's the odd-number extraction thing. Just being able to safe grab an objective and then move back and then just pick up your safe once and just kind of go the distance against a shield is huge. And I wanted to play on my reds, which kind of surprised Vince when I told them that, just because all of mine are 5-point scoring. Mm-hmm. And so you can just score out as soon as possible. And I think I won the game on turn 3 against Vince. We hit.
What were the missions?
Cubes and meteors. And I think meteors was like the best case scenario. The threat level being 17. Not giving Vince a choice.
Demon. I hear one of your models is pretty amazing at pay to flips.
Yeah, pretty good. We'll get to that.
Got him.
My and like
Kenny is so happy.
The other two Gamma.
Well, I've seen demons. It before, so yeah.
Yeah, I felt pretty good on demons because I felt pretty good on Gamma, even if the point total's a little bit worse. Now I'm not 100% sure that Vince would have gone with 15 because Web Warriors 15 can be pretty filthy.
He should not have.
Yeah.
I mean, Web Warriors at any point level are filthy.
Yeah. I mean, our 17 is also pretty filthy.
There's some that are less good. Yeah. I think 17 and 20 are actually their strongest point totals.
Yeah, I feel pretty good on most point totals. I don't love playing at 15. I like having more toys with that. Because we're just like a toolbox deck, so the more tools we can bring with points is just like the better the game will go.
Also more redundancy.
Yeah. So my 17 that game was Miles, Cat, Bill, ASM, and Wong. Bill did the Eyes on the Prize thing. Wong did the double meditate R&D thing, and then it was just off to the races. I think I went up 3 cubes and 2 points. I went up 5-2 the first turn.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they had set up the board was you couldn't single move onto it, just was like the way it was set up.
Yeah, there was a big Hydra tower in like the middle of the table.
So what I did is when I R&D the power onto ASM, I moved, picked up a cube, moved, and then flipped the point and got my power back. And then he put a bunch of attacks into ASM, but the way it was up, so I had cover and was just rolling hot. Only took like 1 or 2 damage and then a damage from the cube. And then my first activation, second turn, was to walk up and heal with Wong, because I knew even if he put attacks into ASM, I could fall back out of sight, which was huge, because he went Fury, attacked with the grunts, did 0 damage, but I still had enough power to fall back, and then...
Yeah, it just ruins the rest of the activation.
Yeah, and then turn two...
Did you have... the same number of models or one more than Vince did?
I think we both went 5 wide. Yeah.
Okay. So you gave him last activation, but it gave you the ability to, like you said, go first turn 2 to heal your boy.
Yeah. And ASM's so huge into shield too. It's just rerolling everything on
lots of range 3-4 dice attacks, which is what he lives against.
Yeah. And he can flip all 3 of the meteors, on any given turn, which is just an insane amount of
without
pressure.
Without even having to web swing. He might not even spend power to do that.
Yeah, he can also gain all of his power back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm well versed in how this happens,
So, like, he put a bunch of damage on ASM, and then I web swung in, all webbed up, instantly dazed the commandos, put a bunch of damage on Invincible, and got to still be to move away, even though he had, marked for death, because that says no beat him advance, not my movement doesn't become slow, which was really nice. And then he put a bunch more attacks into him, eventually got him, but he wasn't in position to pick up the point that ASM had, so like I was just able to move, pick up a point. She did daze Bullseye before doing that, just because I was rolling hot. I don't think that ended up mattering too much. And then I just won the game on turn 3. Just like...
What happened with the mark for death thing?
You mentioned it.
There's a interaction, because it's not slow. It just makes their movement short. And so if you have an ability like Hell on Wheels that just says Advance X, it doesn't reference your normal speed. Where slow says all advances must be made with the short template. Right. And mark for death does not say that.
Okay.
Vince believed that it was going to make him move short, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We've had that interaction come up at the store, so Quentin obviously already knew it.
Yeah, right. it happened in reverse.
he used it on an enemy Peter Parker ASM, and he was like, no, and he called me. I was like, no, sorry. Oh. Like, he's like, God damn it.
That was, it was really important, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You should send me a picture of your celebration outfit. And I can post that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now.
Yeah, I really liked how two things happened. One, as soon as he won, I ran over and be like, "Get over here, and fucking fist bump me!" I stopped our team game that Brandon and I were playing and ran over there. I was like, "I told you not to quit."
We were 5 minutes late for our third round team tournament game because we were standing there watching your match, and then we like kind of looked over and like, why is everyone over there playing? And he's like, oh shit, the round started. And we had like run over to our table. Yeah. We didn't even check Longshanks.
And then he did the mic drop, or quote unquote the metal drop, where I'm like, hey, let me see it. I'm standing there talking, and all of a sudden he just throws it in my like right in front of me. Bonk. I'm like, oh shit.
Mm.
And just dropped it right in front of me. So yeah. Yeah. But no, it was congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. I was excited for you because I know it was something you really wanted. So.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible.
I was super happy.
Just feeling so in control of that last game. Just like everything was going right. When you play games like that, it just felt like a good chess game. Yeah.
Hmm. Yep. I was super happy for you. So, yeah, congratulations again, man.
Were there any models that didn't see the table that you brought in your roster?
No, I think all 10 of my, hit the table at some point. I think Toad probably hit the board the least, just cause we only played at 20 and 16 a couple times. But Zemo was super important. Bill saw the table several times cause he's just a good solid four. Spider-Woman was pretty important to me winning my games against Kenny cause she got an interrogate or two in that really pushes.
She got two.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got two interrogates off.
Yeah. I think Gwen's obviously never leaving ASM. Yeah.
So are you ditching Web Warriors for a real faction now?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
No. Okay.
It's just reaffirmed that he's never going to quit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've committed.
Any changes to this roster going forward, or until there are new releases, are you happy with exactly where you're at?
Until something releases, that it's going to stay exactly the way it is. Playing Bill is boring, but I think correct at the end of the day.
But what about when Gwenom comes out and you get a whole new model? That's definitely going to make your.
Did you listen to my question?
Well, one thing is Gwenom's name is going to be Gwen Stacy, and that's going to be tough. I do think Ben Reilly is going to be very, very good in the roster. He's just more redundancy. He's just like a 4-point spectacular. Yeah. It's the same as like Spider-Woman's a 4-point Spider-Man. It's
Peter 1, basically.
Yeah.
But not Peter Parker.
Yeah, but not Peter Parker. The model's just kind of boring.
I know. I'm super excited to hear you're going to continue to play Web Warriors.
So. Yeah, dude.
Yay.
Yeah.
Cool. So no regrets on your list. You're happy with everything, the tactics cards, the missions, everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I know you have tons of practice with it. So
yeah, I did the math, and over the last year, I've put in like over like actual 4 days of just playing Web Warriors games.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. So we are basically done here. I just wanted to give you an opportunity if you wanted to. To give people a kind of a background on your gaming history, like when did you get into gaming? You know, what games did you play, and what drew you to Marvel?
So I started playing Marvel a little over a year ago. Before that, I was a big Magic player, and the way the Magic like competitive scene works is they have like qualifiers for their regional events, and those regional events are like in 6-month blocks. So what had happened was in the first like week or two of a new season, I went to a store to play in a qualifier, just absolutely crushed it, immediately qualified. And then once you have qualified in those, you cannot play in them anymore. So it was like, oh, what am I supposed to do for the next 6 months? I guess I'll start playing this miniatures game that my friends have been telling me about. And so I do. And start playing in like February. And then it's like March or April is when the Geekery's first qualifier was.
Yeah.
And immediately qualified in that too. But in this game, keep playing, which was pretty important.
I've actually had long conversations that was the one with Aaron about Perrin. That.
You beat
that
Perrin
was the one he beat one. Perrin. That's
yeah, because Perrin beat me and then
playing Shield.
Yeah, he beat Perrin.
Playing Shield.
Yep. Yeah, he was playing Shield.
Yep. Yeah, I remember Perrin spent like 15 minutes staring at the board state, seeing if there's any way he could not lose. He's just like, I need to Helios laser this jerk hole, but he's out of range. So,
well, it was like, any Helios this jerk hole, but also he has mission objective up, standing next to Black Cat. And I was like,
it was over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've talked with Aaron extensively about this because there's a big, like, I don't know, weird thing that happens when you do get qualified and you go to a qualifying event. Now you're like beating people that want to qualify. And so it's like kind of mean. And then you go with your buddies. And so it's like, well, now, like if I play you in the finals, it's like, are they really going to be trying their hardest to beat you? So it like creates this weird, like unfair advantage thing. So it's just rough on how to resolve it. But in your example, like just saying that they can't play anymore really just drives people away from the game. So it's good to see that.
Well, because it's
somebody
happened.
Like you was brought into our game because of that.
Yeah,
it's happened a couple times, right? Because it happened at Warfare Weekend.
Mm-hmm. It happens constantly, like especially in the Midwest when it's like we have a lot of competitive people around here that drive based on everything within 6 hours of our house, and turns out that's a decent amount of qualifiers, and so you go to like 7, 10, 12 of them in a season. It's like, yeah, you're gonna run into your buddies, obviously.
That's when you get the dream crush.
The Warfare Weekend. The Warfare Weekend one was the craziest one though that I had seen because it was Aaron and I and we were both already qualified. So
yeah, it basically rolled down. It was going to roll down to like fifth place at the Warfare Weekend qualifier or something.
No, they were going to not have anybody qualify for.
No, that was a different thing. I'm just talking about like the final placement. Depending on how the last round went, it could have rolled down like five spots.
Yeah, it could.
That's
have,
how many qualified people were playing in that tournament. Yeah, and they were all placing in it, so it was just a weird spot. We are going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for coming on. Sorry we ran a bit late. Congrats one more time.
Thank you.
Yeah, congrats, man. Happy for you. Can't wait to see the medal again.
Again. All right. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down infamous. And we are back.
We did it.
We did it, everyone.
Kenny, you're a Funko Pop guy.
Yeah. It's a funny story. I don't know if we want to talk about it.
Did it start as a funny story and now it's a problem? Like you open your bathroom vanity and there's like eight people staring at you.
I mean, we can get into it if we really want to. My wife and I went to a Comic Con, and when was this? It was Chicago Comic Con 20? It was just when we just got together. She had never collected anything, so we were standing there, and I was like, "Here!" It was the first thing that I grabbed. I'm like, "Here, collect this."
Wait, so neither of you were interested in Funko Pops? Asking about the collectibles, and you're like, yeah, people collect stuff. And she's like, well, what should I collect? And you're like, here. And you just handed her
We were standing we were standing next to a booth. So we were standing there, and I was looking at – I don't remember what I was looking at, to be honest with you. But she had talked about how like she had never collected anything really in her life. She come from a very poor family, didn't have a lot of money, and she wanted to collect something. And I was like, well, you know, going through the thing of like, well, people collect coins, people collect stamps, whatever. And she's like, well, I want to try to collect something. And I think we were standing next to a spot, like they had Walking Dead Funko Pops. And I just picked up the first one I saw. I'm like, here, you like Daryl? And I handed it to her. And then all of a sudden, this fucking happened. So now I've got like 300 Funko Pops because she, whenever she sees one, well, it got to a point where people were also just giving them as gifts. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of compiled, and now I told her, I said, you can't buy anymore. We're done. Mm-hmm. That's over.
I see what appears to be 8 Deadpool Funko Pops.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. There's more than that. I've got the Deadpool's Chimichanga truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them I do actually like. I've got a signed Stan Lee Funko Pop that's probably, I mean, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah,
but I got a sign when he was in Kansas City. I got a couple of like rare ones that I saw because I got into it for a little bit, and then I was like, "What am I doing?" It stopped. But she wants them. Likes them.
I bought 2 Funko Pops for myself. I got Dr. Doom and Patrick Mahomes, the greatest humans of all time. And then somebody bought me a zombie Magneto. So those are the 3 I have.
Yeah. So. Like, I mean, I got some funny ones. Like, I got the dude from the Big Lebowski. I got some rare ones. But like I said, I got to a point where I'm like, okay, this is a problem. She kept buying them. And like, look what I got. And I'm like, God damn it.
That's the problem with Funko Pops is, like, they're fairly space intensive for a collectible that you were supposed to get a bunch of. And so, like, coins are very easy to store because they're small. These things are, like, fuck, 6-inch cubes. And so it's like, what do I do with this?
Exactly what I'm doing with them right now. It's that, and then I've not touched them since we moved in.
Yep, my roommate up in New York is a big Funko Pop guy. His entire back wall of his office is just a Funko Pop wall.
I mean, it was fine for a while, but like I said, it got to a point where I had to tell her, no, we're done, no more.
I like how you got her into collectibles and then forced her to collect Funko Pops and then forced her to stop collecting Funko Pops.
It was 1,000%.
You're really just killing it.
An accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized my mistake like 2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
It took a couple months.
When it was like you already had a whole bookcase full of them and you're like, wait a second, this is going very quickly.
Well, it was the apartment, so I had a shelf. And the shelf was like a... It was like a 5-foot-long shelf. It was a big shelf. And so I had, because I had bobbleheads, like I go to a bunch of Royals games, so I had a bunch of Royals bobbleheads. And that was where it really sparked from, like the bobblehead Funko Pop thing. And I had a display thing of like sports memorabilia, because I've got a bunch of sports memorabilia. But I had that, and like I said, it was very quickly before she took my Royals bobbleheads down and put up Funko Pops. I'm like, well, how do I tell her that that's not okay?
Some kind of monster.
It's like we'd been together like a year and a half. And I'm like, I've owned these things since I was like 10. It's like, don't touch my shit. But yeah, I mean, we can stop talking about Funko Pops. I'm looking at them now, being like, oh shit, I got too many.
All right. So moving on. Quinn, was this your first Adepticon?
This was my first Adepticon. I'm not new to like cons in general. So I used to go to a bunch of Magic ones, like GPs and the ones in Vegas.
You went to LVO, which is fairly comparable. It's, it's different, but very comparable. I'd say Adepticon and LVO are 2 of the most similar cons.
Are we doing like a pre-ramble and then an episode, or are we just...
Yeah.
Okay, so this is pre-ramble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna ask this again in the real episode.
Why are we gonna ask this again?
Because it's I don't know. People need to get to know Quentin.
Yeah, I mean, it's important.
Maybe
to know that I've gone to 2 major cons and.
Yeah, that's real
X secret. And 2.
That's Patreon material right there. We gotta put paywall in front of that.
Okay.
So, do you want to?
Let me read the show notes real quick.
Okay. Oh.
Put down Quentin. Make fun of Kenny. Okay, I got it.
That's all day. I had to tell Josh from Muse because he was like, I didn't go about the thing this morning. And he goes, we don't hate you. And I said, no, I was giving you shit. And then he said, he's like, yeah, we can get kind of mean girlsy. We don't kind of come off as mean. Are you okay? And I was like, have you seen Aaron and I talk to each other?
What happened that I missed?
It was they made a comment. It was about
you should really listen to other people's casts.
Once I enjoy. I do enjoy the Musecast. I really do enjoy it. They didn't know that I listened, but they made a comment about negativity. And I don't even remember what the comment exactly was, but it had to do about negativity, and my name got brought up. And then somewhere before or after, they talked about, like, why do people play the game? And I don't know if that was directed at me or not.
Like, oh, yeah, it was like, why does Kenny even play? Like, he's such a pillar of salt. Why does Kenny even play
this
game? Based
on the wording, I'm assuming it was implied it was about you.
Oh, no, it was 100% directed to Kenny.
I was. So
come on, you know, if we're throwing shade, we're throwing buckets of them, Kenny.
Well, yeah. That's fine, but they were like, when I brought it up, I made the joke, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "No, it's fine. I was giving you shit about it. I'm not upset. I've got pretty thick skin." And then he made another comment, and I was immediately like, "Have you seen Aaron and I talk to each other? It's like it is one put down after another." So it's like it's fine, and I gave my reasonings why I've been lately down on MCP or why I play, I guess is the thing. And it's, you know, it's out of necessity, which better to play something than nothing.
It's the few small threads holding you on like the cliffhanger. It's like the rope is like fraying and you're like, these are what's keeping me up.
It's like a ventilator. You don't like it, but you kind of need it.
I don't hate the game.
You just hate playing it.
No. I don't hate playing the game. I'm just in a weird spot with the game. I think a lot of people are or were. I have not gotten out of that yet.
Yeah, I think there's a natural response that a lot of people have. I know I felt this way a lot, and I don't know that this is the same for you, but when War Machine started going downhill, I got very frustrated every time I played the game because I had this amazing like memory of what I viewed the game as for a really, really long time. And so seeing it like continually take steps backwards as opposed to forwards to get better, and they're just actively introducing things to the game that made it worse, it got incredibly frustrating to play the game. Because anytime you put models on the table, you just have to watch this like thing that you loved like destroyed in front of you as the game got worse and worse and worse until it was almost unplayable. And then so, like, any time a game takes a step backwards, I think it's natural for somebody to feel, like, I don't know, like, defensive towards the change. Like, where it's like, why are we doing this? This is worse or whatever. And so, I think a lot of people would say that MCP has had a rocky 12 months in game balance. Because, like, we've dealt with CGR for a long time, and now, like, Steelers are everywhere. Like, I think it's fair to have that opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there. But I'm just
it's definitely nowhere near where War Machine got to. I'm not saying that.
Right.
Saying.
Yeah. And I never played War Machine, so I don't know about that. But it's just kind of like I've heard other people talk about their feelings on the game, and it's kind of in a weird spot. I think part of it has I'm so fixated right now on Judgment and Blood Bowl. Like I said, we were at Adepticon. And I realized I really do miss Blood Bowl. I had more fun playing Blood Bowl than I think I've had in like the last year playing game. I had a good time.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten on another tangent, and this all started from me being interrupted while asking Quentin about Adepticon, I'm going to go ahead and tell Aaron a story real quick. So, Aaron, I played my first game of Blood Bowl in several years, almost 5 years, I would say, against Ryan.
Okay.
How did that go?
Fucking terrible. It's one of the worst games I've played in a very long time. And Ryan was, again, like the greatest opponent you could hope for, right? Like, Ryan is the best guy to play games against. But we had, I think it was 9 consecutive turns where, like, the first roll was a turnover. It was just a shit show of a game. Like, it was so frustrating. It's like, that's guess my black bull, horse going to throw a 3-die block into your goblin and fall down. Like, what the fuck is happening? I even have Brawler. Like, how does this happen?
That is exactly why I love Blood Bowl.
Yeah. And so, like, eventually the game got back to some sort of normalcy. Like, but out of the 16 turns of the game, because each player gets 8 turns per half, out of the 16 turns of the game, I think I had 4 turns that weren't absolutely abysmal. And one of the turns, like, Well, like, my first turn was awesome. I casualtied two of his players and knocked out one of his trolls. And so I was like, oh, this is going great. The next turn, fail the first roll, and he gets a 8 consecutive roll touchdown on me because he gets a 1-die blitz into a touchdown because my guy is standing so far behind because he got a good scatter on the ball. It's just like, okay, I guess. Like, in the first, like, 3 or 4 times it happens, you're like, whatever, it's fine. And then it gets to the point where it's, like, 10 consecutive turns. You're like, all right, guys, come on. Like, we need something to happen. It was, like, 3-0 at half. It was so bad.
Yeah, that's Blood Bowl.
I guess. It was just interesting. I still had a good time. It was just such a terrible game.
Yeah, Blood Bowl is all about the nuance or experience of crazy shit happening in a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, that happened against me, and I'm still like, is he gonna make it? He did.
I have a really hard time separating game state from board state, I guess, if that's the term. Like, understanding that you are losing the game despite being in a commanding position. And so, like, that's why I get really frustrated when I'm playing, like, Web Warriors and Criminals. It's like, I understand that I'm up in game state, but I'm down in board state. And so, like, that's what I get frustrated by, is the board state. And so even though, like, I might be winning or losing a game, I get frustrated by the situation I'm in, being, like, in a weird spot.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel that way a lot when I play against Web Warriors.
So I had to repeatedly, like, tell myself during the game, it's like, it's okay, it doesn't matter what the score is, this is the decision that you're supposed to make. Anyway, back on the original topic, Quentin.
Yes, Quentin.
Not talking about events or anything, what did you think of Adepticon? Did you have a good time traveling there?
I was actually thinking at the end, of, like, towards the middle of the first day, that I wasn't going to come back to Adepticon. Just because, it's like...
Wow.
The... okay. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, 8 hours is a long way to drive. Events starting an hour late is not my idea of fun. And then the prize support's, like, really bad. Like, for winning.
I mean, there really isn't prize support, right?
Yeah, like, they did,
they
like,
don't
that
really give out prize support.
Yeah, they did that raffle and stuff at the end of the first day, and then they gave out prizes to, like, Best Painted. But I didn't get anything for being first seed at the end of the first day or for winning. Also, like,
no, yeah, the way that we did prize support,
yeah, the way they did prize tickets was also bad. Like, at the end of the day, I had like 30 tickets, and that could not get me something on the prize wall. And I know they were giving out more tickets.
That's a new thing. That's a new thing this year. They'd never done that before.
Yeah, I know they were giving out more tickets to, like, other games because, like, I saw people turning in like 20s. And, like, I never even saw one on the MCP side of a 20.
Oh, they were, maybe, but I think what was happening is some people were buying them from other players.
Yeah,
he meant a 20.
Yeah, like a 20 ticket.
No, they had larger denominations that they would make change for. I don't think you ever got a singular 20 for playing a game.
Not that I saw, but I saw
a lot of
people.
No, because one of the judges, Brian, walked by to our table, and he was like, do you guys need change? I have 20s, and he was just... trading up for people.
I don't think
they were giving those out.
I know towards the end of the second day of Timelines, they were passing out 10s to the players. So even then,
that's
good. I think
that's
got a lot more lax with it over the weekend when they saw how many tickets they still had.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think that's an AMG sanctioned thing, so they're probably doing more for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything to say about the ticket format. I didn't really experience it that. Yeah, I know it's new to this year, and that they had not done that previously. But for Adepticon, I know their philosophy is they don't really give out prize support so they can keep the cost of the event lower. Mm-hmm. And so they try and make the tickets affordable so that way they don't.
I mean, the MCP ticket was still like, what, $25 for the Challenger event?
Sure, but like at some other cons, it can be noticeably more. Like Adepticon, for the size of the con, I think the Adepticon ticket actually is fairly reasonably priced.
I thought it was 35.
No idea.
Well, so here was my, I guess, and I was trying to bring that up. I had a question about it because, like I said, I'm not super experienced with cons. One, I have discovered that prize support's really not a big thing at cons in general, it appears.
No.
Which is fine. That's, you know, whatever.
It's not in miniatures game tournaments. It can be in card game tournaments.
Yeah, I think that's probably where the adjustment comes from. Just playing Magic so much is coming.
Yeah, historically speaking, but Kenny, go with your question.
Well, that's kind of one. That's kind of like part of the question, but the other part of it was, so I paid $135 for an Adepticon quote unquote ticket, and then I had to buy individual events. That seemed more of a price gouge to me than I expected, and I don't know if that's if I'm thinking about it incorrectly. I am wrong. If I am wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
So you think just the weekend badge was $135, and you had to buy like your events on top of that?
It was. I mean, I can bring it up. I still have
the weekend. That's the weekend badge is pretty expensive.
Mine was $210 with a hoodie, so it was like $150.
Yeah, well, if it's $135 just for the ticket, then Aaron played in like six events.
So. I don't think it was $135 for the ticket.
We did play in like six events.
I'm just thinking $135 sounds correct for me if it was including all your event tickets.
No, it did not include all my event tickets because I looked at it multiple times. So I'm like, am I fucking wrong here that I feel like I'm getting gouged?
Did you get the grab bag?
No. I got an ornament.
The last amount I remember seeing when I bought a ticket like 5 years ago it was like $50 for the weekend, and then you had to buy events, which usually range from about $15 to $20.
Yeah.
And then the big events were closer to $30 usually.
Yeah, the badge was $67, and then the challenge event was $25.
Yeah, $135 for a ticket would only be true if you were getting like the VIP grab bag, which has like $150 worth of stuff in it.
I did not get that.
Well, I don't know your price breakdown on your ticket, but that does sound very expensive to me. If I was paying $200 to go to Adepticon just for the event ticket, I would be shocked.
So I'm with Brandon and Kenny on this. Like, it was $55 plus shipping if you wanted a bad ship to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds.
But right. When you add everything up, it really is about $150 for the weekend, which still seems a little expensive.
So
because those costs should be like spread out over everyone, right? To rent the facility. Like in my mind, the Adepticon core badge should basically pay for most of the facility costs. And then the individual event tickets should pay for running the events. And if you're telling me that it costs $25 to run one event for Marvel times 100 people, I'd say I can do it for a little less than that.
That's just price breakdown. I don't think that's how they structure the pricing, but
sure.
Yeah, but I do know it is expensive to obviously have those events, but really the premier expensive cost is the event space. They have, it's like 200,000 square feet that they have to rent in the middle of Chicago. It's like, it's not cheap.
That part I understand, but I'm looking at it right now. It says badges and events. It says a mission item, 2024 Adepticon Advanced Badge was $137. And then it says the content creators was free. Marvel Challenger event day one is $25. Team tournament was $30. Judgment veto was $15. And then Blood Bowl was $25. And then I got an ornament for $10. And that's the breakdown I get. So I don't know if the advanced badge, because I also bought the $12 to ship it to me so I didn't have to wait or
do anything. That should have been $67 total for the badge.
Okay.
So I think you're looking at the total cost of the ticket and thinking that was the weekend cost. And not it added in all your events to that ticket cost. Because like you just said, like it would have been almost like $250 if that was the case, which would be like crazy.
I'd have to look at it again because when I add everything up, it's $117. That's with the advanced badge and the ornament. So then that means the total badge was $20? Because that leaves $20 extra from the admission item.
I mean, if you really want, you can email me. I'll break down your invoice for you. I don't know what to tell you, man. Well, that sounds incorrect.
I felt gouged.
Yeah, if you spent $135 for a weekend badge, you should feel gouged. That is insanely expensive. But anyway, back on the price support thing. Historically speaking, miniatures gaming has almost no price support in tournament payouts. Like, it's just not a thing that happens. It's almost exclusively bragging rights. And part of that is due to the expensiveness of the events themselves. Like, if you run a Magic tournament, all you need is a simple card table and two chairs for every people, or every match that you have. You need to have basically like $500 to $1,000 worth of equipment for a match between two people in a miniatures gaming tournament. So the overhead cost is just so much higher that to then have an expensive price support pool on top of it would be insanely expensive to play in.
My total transaction was $232. Just going to throw that out there.
Why did you spend twice as much as everybody else, Kenny?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. Looking at it again, though, just reignited my irritation. So.
All right, Kenny. Well, we're going to table the fact that you randomly spent an extra $100. We'll talk about it after the cast. How about that?
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Wait, Kenny. Just real quick. What type of badge did it say you got?
It says I have an Adepticon 2024 Advanced Badge.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later.
Did I get fucked?
You're an idiot.
I think you bought the wrong thing.
Okay.
Yes. Right. You bought a swag bag and didn't pick it up. You fucking moron.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. Because the swag bags are like $75, but you all get like $200 worth of shit in it.
Well, then I'm a dumbass. And I lost that on a swag bag. So then I'm less angry now. Thanks.
Less angry at the con, more angry at yourself.
I didn't get gouged. I'm just a fucking idiot. We can talk about it like live. That's fine. I'm a fucking moron. So I
was
apologize.
Gonna say, I was like, there's no fucking way, Kenny.
See, this is what we talk about. Like, I can be wrong. I'm not married to my ideas. I apologize to everybody at Adepticon for saying that I felt like you guys gouged me.
Remind me later. I'll message Hank. I imagine it's far too late, but I'll ask him if they have like leftover grab bags that weren't clean.
It's fine. Somebody can enjoy my.
I mean, he might also donation. Just refund you the difference because you never picked it up.
You
can see this as a life lesson.
I mean, I will
to read the details of your tickets and wonder why you clicked the button that just cost an extra $100 for no reason.
So kids, take
God
notes.
Damn it.
Pay attention to what you're doing and don't be like me.
And he took $100 and just lit it on fire. It's fine.
That would have been more entertaining than what Kenny did.
I would have felt way better about myself if I'd have done that. I'd be like, this is definitely big dick energy.
I was going to cut all of this out, but I think at this point we're just going to leave it in.
You can leave it in. Like I said, whatever. I look forward to people calling me a dumbass.
So again, Quentin, before we got extremely derailed by somebody bitching about event cost.
This is your fault. This is all your fault. You brought it up. Go ahead. Sorry. All right. Quentin, go ahead.
Fucking Christ. Okay. So anyway, what did you think of the event? On the whole, like you said, after the first day, you were like, I might not come back to this.
But oh, yeah.
What did you think about so it was after like, the weekend was over?
It was like the start. The reasons why I was like the price of four, the starting late, then like round timers.
Oh.
And then like.
I would love to address all of these points.
Yeah. And then like the round timers, not like it's awful. Like playing on a chess clock is so much better. And then it being like a secret when I like. Like, after a game, I had asked the judge, I was like, hey, when's the next round start? And he's like, oh, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I finished my round. And I'm going to, like, maybe go get a snack or something. He's like, you probably have time. I'm like, probably? Like, you just can't tell me when the next round's supposed to start? And it's just, like, not great. Not a great experience.
The round timers thing is 100% AMG. I can tell you that Adepticon would rather use chess clocks.
Yeah,
it is expensive because you have to buy a lot of chess clocks, but AMG does not want chess clocks at their events. It's the stupid anti-competitive thing they have. So it just creates more problems, though.
Why is Adepticon an AMG run event?
They have. Do you want me to explain it, or you just want to be mad about it?
I just want to be mad about it. Okay. Like, fucking run, lock, and load. It. Have your own event. Whatever. Don't horn in on other people's fun.
Do you want to know why?
No.
Okay.
It's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, kind of. It's more about the...
I mean, I would know. I light them on fire.
Yeah. he shreds them first, and then he burns the shreds.
I know all about this.
So... Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Never mind. I don't want to reveal something I don't know I wasn't supposed to reveal. So anyway, there is a strong reason AMG is strongly tied to Adepticon. I'll say that. They basically use it as their like big event every year now.
Sure. I mean, it,
like, I know that, you know.
The round timers absolutely affected a couple of games on stream, too. Like Parker's event to time, and so he won.
Oh, 100%. Like, was it 2 years ago when I went, I partnered with a random guy that didn't have a partner there. I played against Omnus's team on the Professional Casual Network, and we didn't get to the end of round two on the stream because it took them an hour to get the stream set up. And so we missed an hour of our round time, and then we had to set up on stream. They had to like look at all of our lists and talk about everything. By the time we started playing, we were an hour and 30 minutes into the round. It was absolutely insane. And so then we're in the middle of the first round, and the judge comes over and gives us a time warning. And we're like, what are you talking about? We just started playing, because we'd been like removed from the group for so long, because we had been talking to the stream people and doing stuff, getting our list set up and getting all the stuff for camera ready. And then by the time they explain, he's like, oh no, like the round started like an hour ago. It was a complete shit show. It was a terrible, terrible event. But they've kind of learned a little bit of their lesson. The round timers is, in my opinion, awful. I understand what they're trying to do, but it feels like at this point they're just refusing to get off their hill, even though they know they're wrong at this point. And it's just sad. Starting an hour late is more of a administrative logistical thing. That hall doesn't open till 8, and they say it starts at 8:30. It's absolutely impossible to get 96 people registered for rent in 30 minutes. It's literally impossible. Right. I don't know why they say that. I told Parker, like, it'll start at 9:15, and it started like right at 9:15. I
mean, like, they could just have people register the day before.
You could just, them to register the day before, and you could just tell them it fucking starts at 9, and it would be fine. But I think what they really want is everybody there at 8:30, and so they put 8:30 so that people are there at 8:30, even though they know it's not going to start. Because if people are showing up at 9, you have the same problem. I don't know. It's annoying. It's a big event, and I think the problem is expectations. If people are expecting it's going to start at 9:15, there's no problem. But if people go in expecting it to start at 8:30 and then also don't know what time they have to be back for the next round, it's really annoying.
Yeah, and maybe it's just another coming from Magic events where you go to a GP and there's 10,000 people there and the round starts when they say the round's going to start.
Yeah, and if you're late, you lose.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how it works.
I'm totally fine.
Yeah, and I get it. I don't disagree at all. I would love to see them take a more realistic approach to the logistics of the tournament. That being said, though, I think it is a pretty cool tournament. It's fun to watch everybody go in there and compete.
I had a blast playing my games. Like, all my games were good, but yeah.
I will say, of every tournament I've ever seen use round timers, I think Adepticon has gotten it pretty close to working. Considering we all here are in agreement that round timers are the worst thing you could do, considering that, I think they do a decent job of it.
You're about to get canceled.
I don't know about the decent job part.
From me.
They've made the round timers adequate to get most of the games done. As long as you're not Parker, you can seem to get your games done in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, that dude needs a
job. Now, the problem again is always when the time has a horrible one-sided advantage because one player is taking all of the time. That's just obviously not fair, and there's nothing you can do about that with round timers.
Yeah, I think that's biggest issue with it.
Slow playing and stalling is cheating. Yeah. And there's no way to prevent that with round timers. There just isn't one, which is why everyone agrees chess clocks are better.
Yeah, just even looking at my
team tournament.
Oh yeah, just looking at my game on stream, like how fast I was playing. That's about how fast I play normally. I've never gone to time with a chess clock.
Well, no, you don't have to go to time when you're playing Web Warriors. Let's get into that.
I mean, sometimes I sit there and I think for like a minute or two, but like. It's not that hard to make a decision.
No, yeah, especially transitioning from chess clocks back to round timers. It feels so like fish out of water. You're like, what are we doing? Anyway, what was your opinion of the con after like you're on your way home?
I was like, it was fine. I was very tired by the end of day two, and like after I had won. And then going into playing Judgment Fives on day three, I get through my three games, and there was another round. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm good. I'm gonna sit down, just like chill out for a while.
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of endurance when you like in con shape and not in con shape, and it's mostly mental fortitude to be able to be active for 16 hours a day on no sleep,
or little to no sleep. I don't know. I crushed day one and I slept on the floor the night before. Maybe I should do that more.
I honestly usually do better when I'm massively sleep deprived. When we went to WTC, I almost intentionally didn't sleep because I knew that like me on edge is better than me like relaxed. And so
you're insane.
I know. No, dude, it helps a lot. Like it helps me focus.
How when I'm on the fuck low sleep. Could it do that?
Because you don't have the bandwidth for everything else. So you just you just point the bandwidth at the thing you care about, and that's all you do. Yeah, there's no distractions.
I have to go grab my laptop charger. Otherwise, my computer will die. Okay.
That makes sense.
You didn't do that before, rookie.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, it sounds like he's doing laundry in the background, so.
I don't hear anything. Oh, he's muted now, though, so, yeah. Hmm.
So, Kenny.
Yo.
You just hate money, huh?
Apparently I do, because I blow it at the store, I blow it at Adepticon, I blow it every fucking where I can. I give it to my wife, and she buys trinkets and toys and collectible stuff now.
I mean, you kind of forced her hand on that one.
I mean, yeah, we've established that I fucked up. It happens.
Kenny, I got a fun little anecdote for you.
Go for it.
I found out that I have a special skill.
Okay.
I'm really good at putting leaves in water. You might call it my specialty.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
I gotta go. I can't be a part of this.
I gotta go. I refuse to be part of this.
You know what I was really hoping for? I was thinking about this today. I was like, do I say I want a joke, or do I just try to let it happen organically? I appreciate
that you want a joke. The first time you guys were recording Judgment, I was spam messaging you and Aaron dad jokes, and none of you would say it.
No, because I was trying to be nice to Jeremy on the first.
And now you realize he doesn't deserve it.
Well, I don't know about that, but he was, when we started the Judgment one, I felt like we were trying to he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do, and I was like, well, I'm not going to add this on top of that.
Yeah.
So I just didn't do it, and now if I say, I think if I say a joke now, he might actually have an aneurysm.
Yeah. My passive aggressive nature is that if you do something to annoy me, I will find something that annoys you. And so Jeremy refuses to learn what technology is. And so when I'm like, yeah, just send me the MP3 file, he just like sends me a picture of a screenshot of a MP3 file. And I'm like, all right, dad jokes it is. And it's just like, this is what you get for the rest of your life.
This is what you wanted, right?
Hey, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. We're going to transition into talking about the COC tournament. This will mostly be Quentin talking and us asking questions. So we'll just go round by round. Quentin, I don't know if you want to pull up Longshanks.
I haven't pulled up, so I can take a look at it.
I figured you might. Hmm. One second.